This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Final Saturday in the month of June. Hard to believe. And the summer for the school kid just keeps getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And Sean Berlant, we are basically 2 months away from Football Friday. Week one of the high school football season kicks off August 26th. My birthday, by the way.
Oh, you know, time flies, doesn't it?
Oh, boy. Don't I know it. It seems to fly a lot faster now than it did 20 years ago.
Oh, I'm telling you. And what, just last Saturday, we had the All-Star game up in Bloomington. Some local talent up there, Magnus. So the thought of slapping on the pads is just not that far away. Of course, those folks won't be playing again at the high school level. But, yeah, the calendar in the sports world moves pretty quickly now.
Yes, it does. And just a side note here, talking about things moving quickly. You know, we had the NBA draft that just concluded earlier this week. Kofi Coburn didn't get drafted but got signed by the Jazz. So we'll see if Kofi can make his way in the association. But yesterday they announced the Big Ten ACC Challenge matchups, and Illinois is going to be hosting Syracuse. They've been doing this challenge since 1999, and it's the first time that Illinois will play Syracuse in the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
That's a nice setup. That's a good launch. They've come a long way from what was that? The Illini Challenge or whatever. They actually made a tournament out of it where the Illini would play, I don't know, Southwestern North Dakota Tech.
Oh, yes.
And it's time for the Tournament of the Obscure.
We've won this tournament 25 straight years. But, you know, this Big Ten ACC Challenge, that was really the first one. You see a lot of these interconferences now have these battles. But back in 1999, there wasn't a lot of that going on. I remember when it started, it was a very big deal. Two best basketball leagues in the country, really the entirety of the existence of the challenge. So Illinois will be playing Syracuse in that coming up down the road. But we're talking about time flying. That'll be here before we know it, with Fighting Illini basketball. Of course, you get the Illini over on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. We'll have high school football for you in 2 months on WSMI FM 106.1. And, of course, the Cardinals can be found all season on AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9, playing the Cubbies. Maybe the Cardinals will score a run today. We'll get into that later with some of Jennifer's gripes. But, Sean, speaking of Major League Baseball, obviously the big news earlier this week was Reed Detmers getting optioned to AAA Salt Lake just six starts after he tossed that no-hitter. And that, unfortunately, is the brutal side to professional baseball.
It is tough. And, you know, you build a relationship with a manager. The manager goes, and who knows what magic Joe Madden might have had. But that's a tough pill. I mean, Reed strikes me as a mentally tough type, but it's tough. And then, you know, the team what, went into a 12-game losing streak? And sometimes, you know, the pitcher struggles on his own, and sometimes, you know, you got to think the team drags you down a little bit. So it's a tough business, this game of baseball.
And he had not won a game since he threw that no-hitter. His ERA since that no-hitter, I think, was 5.67. But as you said, it's such a team game. And I think about an organization like the Angels, and then you contrast it with an organization like the Cardinals, and look about how they handle their top prospects. Reed Detmers got fast-tracked to the big leagues by the Angels. And he did very, very, very well. And then all of a sudden struggles, back to AAA he goes. The Cardinals, they're not bringing up their top guys unless they know that they're not going to have to send them back down within a year.
Yeah, you have to be patient. You know, like every once in a while, like I think the Cardinals rushed Hicks, and I think we've seen the consequences. You do. You have to, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. When you bring prospects up through the system, and you got to be smart about it.
And I can only imagine, you know, the mindset of a big league ball player when you get sent down, especially coming off the high of that no-hitter, and then all of a sudden here you are at AAA. Reed didn't spend a lot of time in the minor leagues, really, before he got the call to the big league. So, you know, from just a shock to the system situation, it has to be quite the change of scenery, obviously.
Yeah, it's a lot to process, especially when you think of the atmosphere and the energy in that ballpark. You know, more than I ever expected. I thought, you know, oh, Orange County, this is cool for the moment. But, boy, they were into it like any baseball cathedral in the country. And sometimes it's tough, that next start. Like, oh, gee, now people expect more of me. And it's tough, but I think maybe as great as it is, that's a memory they can't take away from you. Maybe going to the minors, kind of separating time and space from a no-hitter and just getting back to developing as a player, it might come in handy. If you can get that call, get up there and make things happen.
It's amazing how often you do see this situation happen where a young guy comes up, throws a no-hitter or a perfect game, whatever the situation may be, and then, yeah, there seems to be a little bit of a lull, for lack of a better term, in some of those starts following, trying to get that consistency. Because, I mean, it's obviously a career-defining moment when you throw a no-hitter like Reed did. And when you look at his numbers, Sean, they're fine, really, when you look overall for a 22-year-old kid in the big leagues. 12 starts, 2-3 record. We know that doesn't really matter as much out of his control. But a 4.66 ERA, 44 strikeouts in 58 innings, 43 hits allowed, 21 walks. So, I mean, in modern day baseball, you know, playing in the American League, you know, those are respectable numbers for the trajectory of where he's headed, to me.
No doubt. He's not 28. He's not 32. He's not 25. I mean, he's, you know, basically like a chick just out of the egg, out of the shell. And he's, hasn't had a whole heck of a lot of seasoning. Yeah, you just think sometimes you press a little bit. Well, these fans expect me to just kind of razor through the lineup. They expect me to become dominant and to be like, you know, right behind Ohtani. And, you know, I went from invisible to way visible. And, I don't think Reed really looks for either. Doesn't want to be invisible, doesn't want to be, you know, be like Ohtani where he's on the cover of video games or anything. I think, I mean, just from what I can tell.
He wants to go out and do his job.
He's like a happy medium, yeah. Punch the time clock. Get it done. Get a results kind of guy.
Very blue collar in that regard. He's not going to be in AAA very long. You know, like you're talking about how, you know, the Cardinals don't like to maybe send top guys down. Sometimes a little reset is exactly what is needed. And you go down to AAA, make a couple of starts, get your feel back. You know, and I don't think it's necessarily a confidence issue, but you know how it goes with any sport. Sometimes you just lose the feel, whatever the case may be. So you go down, get that feel back, have some success at the AAA level, and he'll be right back up at the big leagues in short order, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, Brian had to do the same thing with me. Had to send me to AAA Honey Bend, where we have a minor league team out by the tower.
Hey, they're having a solid year. They could be leading the division at the break. It's possible.
I got moved to 5:30 a.m., the tourist information station. Anyway, enough of my bad jokes.
Hey.
Yeah, it's a tough setback. You know, you can get that baseball card and hold on to the memories and you keep going. You know, that's a great thing about when you get a no-hitter. Hey, you never know what life can bring. You know, something had, and I'm not trying to say anything depressing, but, you know, baseball careers, something can snap. You know, you can look at Scott Rowland, you just have a collision with a first baseman, and, a career can kind of go south. Like
the old saying goes in professional sports, you know, are you day-to-day? Aren't we all?
Yeah. Yeah, you have those moments they can't take away. I think of the fellow from Highland. I think he was the number one pick of the Cubs in 1969. Back then, teams didn't invest much in first-round picks. He was going to start, and I think it was Joe Niekro. I think it was Joe Niekro who shut his thumb in a door, didn't get a start, then wound up not ever getting a sniff of the majors.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I think of, you know, Mike Matheny, his inability to put a knife back in its sheath and slice in his finger, that, to me, inextricably affected Rick Ankiel and his pitching career. I don't think he uncorks eight wild pitches if Mike Matheny's back there.
No doubt about it. You know, and I was at that game, and, boy, that was hard to watch. You know, some fans are, are thinking like, oh, he's hurting us. And, I think there are other people who play the game at you know, decent level, and they're just their heart's going out to him because they just they're feeling what he's feeling, and he's out there, you know, well, he'd been handled with kid gloves, and all of a sudden they throw him out there. And
no lonelier feeling than being 60 feet, 6 inches away and not knowing where it's going.
I bet it felt like 20 minutes between every pitch.
Oh, my goodness. Had to. Absolutely had to. Sean, we got a good show today. We're going to be talking with Corbin Govey coming up here in a few moments. He is the new Hillsboro boys basketball coach. We'll talk to Corbin and then also going to talk with Steve Allen. Now, he's the coordinator for the 50th anniversary Illinois Basketball Coaches Association Open House, which is coming up on July 9th. So we got some hoops conversation coming up here, but I'm excited for Corbin Govey, Sean. This kid, he's one kid, you know, that's how long I've been here now. He was one of my favorite athletes to watch play back when he was doing it at Litchfield in the early to mid aughts, but he played so hard. Like he's the type of kid where you could say he'll run through a wall. I saw him run into walls plenty of times. Never actually saw him get through one, but I saw him full speed crash into them plenty of times. And that type of energy when you're a head coach, that can be very infectious.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And again, when it's recent, you're able to relate to players. And, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, when you got that kind of fella out there who knows what it's like to dive for the ball, results first, self-preservation second, that kind of mindset, within reason.
Right.
That's a beautiful thing. I think it's nice to have a new coach. I mean, you know, third coach in 3 seasons, but I'm trying to find the words.
To me, Sean, it's not as topsy-turvy maybe as it was before, because Corbin, he was on the staff. So, I mean, he's a known commodity there in that regard. So I think he gets the full off season, right? He's in there now in the summer doing his thing. So it's much more of a normal transition than what we saw previously.
Yeah, it's almost like next man up.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So we're going to talk with Corbin Govey coming up next here on Sports Saturday. And then Steve Allen joins us to talk about the IBCA 50th anniversary open house celebration, all coming up here on Sports Saturday.
922 right here at FM 106 Sports Saturday. Sponsors couldn't do this every Saturday without them. Thank you, guys. They include Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond, Kirst 24-Hour Towing in Litchfield, call 324-2400, Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care, and Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. And once again, we're going to join WSMI's Sean Valent and Tim Mize.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. We're going to have Steve Allen joining us about 20 minutes or so to talk about the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association 50th anniversary open house, which is coming up in a couple of weeks on July 9th at the McLean County Fairgrounds there in Bloomington. So we'll talk to Steve Allen about that coming up. We're going to be joined briefly here by Corbin Govey, the new head boys basketball coach at Hillsboro. And Sean, I remember Terry Tote and I having conversations over the years about things that would make you feel old in this line of work. And Terry said, just wait till the kids where you called their games in high school, just wait till they start becoming coaches. And I thought, yeah, that will be weird. Well, it's happening. Because I remember, I loved watching Corbin Govey play when he was in high school. And now here he is all these years later, the head coach at Hillsboro. And I got to say, Sean, you never know the things that will make you feel old until something makes you feel old. That makes me feel old.
You've crossed that bridge.
I can't go back either.
Oh, you can try, but it's not pretty.
It never works.
Also down in flames.
Always. Of course, Hillsboro, they're going to have a very different-looking team coming back for Corbin's first year than we saw a year ago. So many so much senior production lost to graduation. So they will have a different club. But Sean, when you're in your first year as a head coach, maybe that's not a bad place to be.
You know, it really is. It's interesting. And again, being the JV coach, it's as if it's a continuation. Same coach, and you all just move up together. It's an interesting scenario.
And it'll be real interesting to see how it plays out for the Toppers. And having a normal summer here, that is so important for all the sports, right? And for our small schools, it's all about the balance between each sport and trying to make sure that these kids still have the ability to go and be kids while at the same time getting in the summer work and the variety of sports that they play. But in terms of basketball, you know, they always talk about players are made in the summertime. And you think about all the different summer tournaments and games that get played, the open gyms. There's just so much time and room for growth here in the summer months.
Yeah, it's something. And, boy, I just caught wind of that monster event they have in Edwardsville this weekend, the showcase. I never realized they could get in that many games over the summer, and it's, you know, it's nice that the programs kind of take the lead as opposed to, you know, we see what happens some other places where things get a little unscrupulous over the summer where other people are in charge, and that's just not a good thing. So it's just kind of nice to keep everything attached to the same power structure and, you know, flowing smoothly. And, you know, people stay at the team concept 12 months a year.
That's exactly right. Having a little trouble catching up with Corbin Govey here. We're going to make contact with them at some point on this Saturday morning.
He might have dived for a loose ball at the house.
Well, that's distinctly possible.
Yeah. Sean, he's playing fetch and banged up his shoulder against the wall.
While we have a moment here, you spent the week out at the Montgomery County Fair. Obviously, it's still going on here today. But just kind of talk about the happenings. Always a busy week out there in Butler.
Yeah, it's something to watch everything unfold. Like last night, the motocross racers started to file in, and that's something. And watching them set up that track, watching what those guys do with the Bobcats, the way they move that dirt, the way they've got the vision, you know, of what the thing should look like, and even though they're working at point blank range with a lot of mud, it's something. And you know, it's hard to beat that. You know, we talk about your sports ticket dollars, Ticketmaster convenience fees $15, parking $20-something, and when a family, and again, you know, we all know the farm families and the fair has been based around farm families at its core. You know, they have highs and lows, as you know, personally. So to have something where you know you can get in the grandstand for $5, at $7 at the gate, I mean, 1960s prices, you can't beat it. And, family atmosphere, and when you run the events right, people come back, and you get the rivalries and the truck and tractor pulls, the demo derby. I'm amazed. You know, times have changed with cars. I'm amazed they can still put a demo derby together because you don't have the $500 car. You don't have the quote-unquote boat like when I was growing up. So they have to be, I have to think they're pretty resourceful.
Well, and you mentioned about agriculture, and that is such a huge part of every county fair. But when I go to these fairs now, I always go and look at the antique tractors because I just love looking at the old antique tractors. But I just have the thought every time I do that now, that is going to be lost however many years from now. I mean, you look at the farm machinery now, it's big. It's fancy. You know, they got fancy seats, and they got GPS, and they got all the trinkets. There's no question about it. But 40 years from now, are people going to line up to go look at a 50-year-old tractor? I don't think so. I don't think so. And so like that, you know, that just feel of those old-school antique tractors, some of these things, you know, almost 100 years old.
Phenomenal. I mean, it really is. It's amazing what they can do, and you can tell there's still a passion from some corners. I'm thinking of that almond auction bid, that record sale they had. What was it, a 1913 tractor? Yeah, looking through my notes here for it. I think it was a record. So there are a few people, but, yeah, you want the masses to appreciate it. It's something when you see these things like the American Farm Heritage Museum over there in Greenville and the things they can do to keep something like that going because, you know, they're impressive things. Like, you know, people still put World War II airplanes up in the air. And I know metal fabricators are a big part of that. But, boy, it just gets tougher and tougher to, you know, to come up with those kind of financial resources. Yeah, here we go. That 1930 Case 3060 went for $1.47 million.
Wow.
Most expensive antique tractor ever sold. And most expensive sold in history.
Mm.
So I got to talk to old Kurt and the crew over at Almond and see how that's changed their already successful business. But there are definitely some people who love those antique tractors, but I hope there's a big enough crowd that follows them for years to come and keeps them, you know, keeps that history going.
Well, especially, yeah, going to have to keep them because the tractors now, they're not going to have that appeal.
No.
Because basically the tractors now, it's like, you know, it's like a phone. It's a big piece of technology. It's like you can't get your own car worked on anymore. Like they plug in a computer to see what's wrong with it. No wrenches required. Let me just plug in the computer, see what's going on here. What electrical component has gone out now?
You know, it's just... you know, and I guess it feels like what looking at an oxen was like 50 years ago. It just, it really is changing. And, I mean, you got a borderline autonomous vehicle at times.
Right. You think about the first tractors, you know, the first vehicles had the steel wheels. I remember asking Uncle Ralph Niehaus, what were those first tractors like? And he said, oh, man. He's like, it was a lot better than looking at the south end of a four-horse northbound plow. It's like... Yeah, I guess that probably is right. Might have been bouncy, but it was better than what they had.
In the words of Jerry Lee Lewis, a whole lot of shaking going on.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Hey, we'll have Cardinal baseball coming up today, 12:20 on AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. We're going to take a quick break here, see if we can make connection with Corbin Govey when Sports Saturday rolls on.
9:34 right here on FM 106. Thank you to the Sports Saturday sponsors, and they include Mark Stern, your State Farm agent in Litchfield, Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, Prairie Town Feed Service, they're serious about their service, and Garrell's Auto Body and Repair. See Joanne Garrell doing it right since 1982. Again, we rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you very much. And we have caught up with New Hillsboro boys basketball coach Corbin Govey. And Corbin, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And first off, congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Corbin, I said earlier, it makes me feel old that you are now a head coach because I remember watching you play back in the early 2000s, and the way you played always stood out to me because you played so hard all the time. And will that kind of be your main focus to instill in your kids? You got to give it everything you got.
Yes, absolutely. I was never really the biggest, but I always tried to, you know, 100% every single time. And that's why I tell my kids, you know, try to 100% every single time. If you're tired, get out of there, you know. It's just one of those things that I'm definitely going to try and instill in them, yes.
Well, Coach, I know the kind of player you were, and someone wasn't exactly afraid of a challenge, but by the same token, being the JV coach, taking these kids up to the next level while you go up to the next level, I can't think of a better situation for someone, you know, heading up the program for the first time.
Right, yeah. Obviously, it's definitely different going from JV to varsity. But I've definitely always been up to a challenge. We had some great players. You know, great players last year with Drake Vogel and Gavin Matouche, Bryce Connor, you know, coming and going in there as well. But we have some good returning starters, Blaze Helton and Will Christian, and I'm definitely going to put this season on their shoulders to try to lead us to, you know, first off, we're going to, you know, try to get a regional championship first, and then kind of go on from there. But I'm definitely putting this season on their shoulders.
Corbin, the nice thing about for you this offseason is you get an offseason. We know last year with everything that transpired, the summer was very disjointed for the Toppers a year ago. So talk to me about kind of the summer this year and the ability to kind of get your system installed.
Yeah, so this summer, obviously, we didn't have anything last summer. But this summer we had a youth camp this year. I've always been a big supporter, and you know, we got to develop our youth very young. So that's why I let my first graders all the way through my eighth graders. That's what my camp was. And I got to install it very young. And then, we went to Illinois College yesterday. We played very well. We didn't go 6-0, but, we played very well. But this summer we were very, we definitely need to install, something with a, you know, pick and roll. You know, we're not going to be big, but we played very, I mean, we're going to be good. But we need to install something, that will definitely transition into personnel.
Hey, how helpful is it, you coach, to be within a program? You don't have to meet new people. I think of guys getting their first head coaching gig. It's almost like there's a social aspect, a winning people over aspect that you have to do while you're also getting the team ready and implementing your system. The fact that maybe you don't have those kind of distractions, that you're a known commodity, has that set up for you to focus on basketball.
Yeah. We have Coach Sam Plum. He's our new JV coach. He's coming from St. Elmo. I've talked to him. He's come to a bunch of our camps. He's a very knowledgeable guy. I'm definitely excited to work next to him. We hit it off right away. And then I'll definitely have my Jeremy Connor back. And I'll have Brent Stewart back as my volunteer coaches. Very, very knowledgeable guys. And I know I can always go to them, and they'll tell me straight up, what I need to do. You know, I mean, they're very knowledgeable guys. So I know I have a great group with me.
And Corbin, that's such a key component, I think, of being a head coach, is the ability to accept the fact I might be wrong. I have to lean on my assistants.
Absolutely. I'm just going to point out Jeremy Connor. I mean, he's one of those guys. I mean, he played D1 football, you know, and he is a very, I mean, he's one of the most knowledgeable guys in sports that I've ever met. And I'll tell him, he's like, no, that's probably not a good idea. And I'm like, well, you're probably right. You know, it's just one of those, you're like, yeah, you're probably right. So, I'm just kind of pointing him out. I mean, he's one of those that are definitely helps you out, without a doubt.
Well, what was helpful in your time working with Coach McBrain last year? What was the personal legacy for you of what you learned under him?
Coach McBrain, he actually coached me whenever I was playing Legion baseball. And I mean, we grew up together. I grew up, you know, playing softball with him, slow pitch softball with him. I know how he coached. I knew how he played. You know, he was never the biggest, but you know what? He had the heart. I mean, that's it. Him and I, we knew each other forever, and we definitely. I mean, we were basically the same person, in my opinion. We played our hearts out, regardless of what the score was. I mean, we never quit, and that's something that I'm going to definitely take away from him. We just worked well together, and I wish him well. I understand, but I wish him well with everything.
Talking with Corbin Govea, the new Hillsboro boys basketball coach. And Corbin, I remember it's been several years ago. There was a big half. It was before you were on the staff. There was a big halftime celebration. They're doing games out on the floor, and somehow you wound up coming out of the crowd to do something. I don't remember what it was, but the student reaction to your appearance on the floor, it was thunderous. And I thought, man, those kids, they like Corbin Govea, and why wouldn't they? But when you have that type of, I guess, connection, right, with just the normal student body, that can really kind of help you build and establish what you want to.
Right. Yeah, it was a half court shot, and I ended up making it, and they were, I mean, the student section, I actually made like three in a row, I believe, or something like that.
Of course, but you did.
Yeah, but they ended up, I love those students. You know, Hillsboro, going back with Coach Duff in football, they all welcomed me with open arms. You know, being from Litchfield, it was hard. You know, I was just kind of, I was lenient, or, you know, I was scared, to be honest with you, you know, because I wasn't sure, but I wanted to get back into coaching, you know, being on a little hiatus. But Coach Duff welcomed me with open arms, and I'm glad to be at Hillsboro.
Well, I think of being a high school athlete that has that kind of motor, that kind of intensity, and you're getting better week by week, and then all of a sudden, bam, one day it's over. I have to think coaching has been pretty therapeutic as a place to put that intensity, because I just can't think of anywhere else you really get that. I mean, I can't picture that going to a lawnmower or a day job, a typical day job. I have to think it's pretty therapeutic to put that that love and passion from your youth to further use.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, once I graduated high school, I was actually coaching JFL football, you know, while I was in high school. But once I graduated, you know, I went to college and everything. And then when I got out, you know, I just kind of, I wasn't sure what to do. And it was hard at first. I actually picked up slow pitch softball. It was the closest thing I had to baseball, so it kind of, I actually, you know, I'm glad that I actually picked that up, and I was able to, you know, try to transition into getting back into coaching. But yeah, it's definitely, you can't get a sports fix on a lawnmower. That's the truth.
Now, Corbin, we'll get you out of here on this one. You played with such a fire, in such intensity. So, can I anticipate your technical foul number being high?
I tell you what, over at IC yesterday, I probably could have received probably two or three. I'm very energetic. But I know my limits, but I'm definitely going to protect my kids, and I know how to protect my kids.
Awesome.
So, yep.
Corbin, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Congratulations on the hire. We look forward to following the Toppers here when the season gets going.
Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Definitely. Thank you very much.
All right. That is Corbin Govea, the new Hillsboro boys basketball coach. And Sean, you know, sports wagering now is a thing. So we might have to start setting technical foul lines for Corbin here when the season gets going. You always got to stick that half number in there.
Three plus, minus 400.
But you heard him say it. And all coaches, protect your kids. And sometimes in protecting your kids, you get teed up. It happens.
Yeah, it's a delicate part of the game, but it's part of the game, no doubt about it.
Yes, I'm happy for Corbin. He's going to do a nice job with the Toppers. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk with Steve Allen. He's the coordinator for the IBCA 50th Anniversary Open House Celebration, which is coming up July 9th. We will talk to Steve Allen about that when Sports Saturday continues.
946, you got FM 106 WSMI. Thank you, Sports Saturday sponsors. They include Woods Basement Systems, Litchfield National Bank, the friendly bank with two locations to serve you, Montgomery Nursing and Rehab in Taylor Springs, and Mike Belovich, your REMAX agent in Macoupin and Montgomery. Once again, with WSMI Sports Saturday. Here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Balint.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, and the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association has been celebrating their 50th anniversary. In the process, they have been rolling out their list of the 30 most influential men and the 30 most influential women in the history of Illinois basketball over the last 50 years. And the list is staggering, as I think we're at week 23 right now, so still more names to drop, but it's such an impressive collection of basketball talent. And they're going to have their 50th anniversary open house celebration coming up in a couple of weeks, Saturday, July 9th, at the McLean County Fairgrounds Expo Center in Bloomington. And joining us on the phone now to talk about the event is Steve Allen. And Mr. Allen, thank you for a few minutes of your time, and this is one exciting event.
Thank you, fellas, for having me on. Yes, it's going to be a great event. It's going to showcase our 50 Hall of Fame classes. The public is invited. We think that all of our basketball fans should have the opportunity to attend. It's a very low-key social, but we're going to have a lot of memorabilia, and I think that's going to enhance a lot of people to come to the event.
Well, you know, I look at these coaches, and they're just larger than life in some cases. I think of, like, Neil Alexander. You could practically put his face on the Lincoln Water Tower. I mean, some of these guys are synonymous with the towns.
Well, I think one of the interesting things is that Steve Kimbrough and Neil Alexander played basketball together.
Right.
And both of them have 800-plus wins apiece. And, of course, they played for Lauren Wallace. So a lot of great history even before they became coaches.
Yeah, that was a neat moment several years ago whenever Lincoln came to Nokomis and they squared off. That was a really monumental night for Nokomis basketball. And, you know, Steve, I've said a number of times as this list has been rolled out, and it goes beyond just the names that will be on the most influential list, but Indiana gets a lot of recognition for high school hoops. Deserved, that's fine. But to me, a lot of it is based on the movie Hoosiers. You know, it kind of immortalized Indiana basketball. You can take the history of Illinois high school basketball, and you can put it up against any state that you want. I don't care which one you pick, and it's going to hold its own against all of them.
You know, we had T-shirts made this year. We had exhibits at both state tournaments, and we passed out some T-shirts to our Hall of Fame coaches who helped. And if I remember this right, the slogan on that was, Hoosiers was one great story, but Illinois basketball has thousands.
That's right.
And I really do believe that. I don't think anybody can compare to Illinois basketball history.
See, the first state tournament I ever went to, 1993, followed the Staunton Bulldogs up there. You know, being from Bunker Hill, they're right down the road. And that, I mean, I can still remember that like it was yesterday. I remember after the semifinals, everyone talked about we just saw the state championship game. Hales, Franciscan, and Cairo, and then Staunton shocks the world, the last true Cinderella we'll ever get in Illinois.
And that's what's interesting is that every little town in Illinois has a story, and there's a connection with basketball history, and we're trying to preserve that. The interesting stories we heard at the state tournaments were just fascinating, things you'd never even think about. And we're trying to keep that alive if we can.
I just think some of these neat stories where maybe people know about what they achieved later in their career, and now it's a chance to go back and find out about their roots. Rich Heron, who really got the SIU program on the map for the first time in years after, you know, Walt Frazier made some noise there in the 60s. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Carbondale, SIUC alumni know about what he achieved down there, but this is the great thing to dig a little deeper and to find out about what a legend he was at the high school level. And Coach,
oh, yeah.
I'm sure there are similar stories.
Oh, absolutely. And Coach Heron, when you mention his name, everybody just stops and because they know there's going to be some history and some stories about that. Central Illinois and Southern Illinois, We're writing a historical booklet for this event, and it's going to be about 150 pages long with a lot of photos and some stories and some historical lists. But I think we could have made it four or five times bigger if we wanted to. Just great, great history.
Talking with Steve Allen here about the 50th anniversary open house celebration for the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association coming up on July 9th at the McLean County Fairgrounds Expo Center in Bloomington. And Steve, to me, one of the fascinating things about high school basketball in Illinois is, obviously with Chicago and the Chicagoland area, we've seen a lot of top-end NBA studs come from there. But then you get that small school, beautiful feeling of high school basketball with the majority of the state. It's such a unique blend.
Well, look at the history of downstate Illinois, and it was the most dominant form of basketball in Illinois. We always talk about the great players from Chicago, and they have a bigger pool of players, there's no doubt, but we can't forget all of the great players at every level, even if they play Division III or NAIA. There's a lot of great players who came from Central and Southern Illinois.
Well, I know Title IX, the saga, it wasn't flip a switch, and everything worked beautifully when it comes to girls' sports. It's been a long evolution. I still remember, hey, you want to make some extra money? Hey, coach the girls over there. And it's come a long way where people have come in and they have chosen to coach girls' sports, and programs have developed, and good feeder programs have developed in basketball. That has been something to watch, hasn't it? I mean, for people who haven't followed the sport for more than 3 or 4 years, they have no idea how far it's come.
Oh, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the items we'll have on our program is honoring the 50th year of Title IX. And going through some of that history is just spellbinding. The efforts that the women coaches, men and women, both, who persevered and had they just had so many troubles trying to get on the court and to be recognized. I think that girls basketball has gone a long, long way, and it's only going to get better. There's no doubt.
And I'll never understand how Tyra Buss scored the number of points that she scored. It's mind-blowing.
Well, I've got to figure all the people that tried to stop her probably had the same thought. So, and there's a lot of girls who did the same thing. You had the Hashire girls from down south. You had a girl there at Hillsboro,
Sammy Matouche.
Sammy Maton. I'm sorry, I can't remember. She went to Illinois Wesleyan, maybe.
You had Hope Schulte and Sammy Matouche both. Yes.
Yeah, and you know the thing is you can watch those girls play, and you go, you know, I can't make that move. I can't do that. So, you know, it's not a gender thing anymore. There are some great basketball players in high school, boys and girls.
Yeah, Tim, I'm forgetting about the girl from Fillmore. Oh, Molly McDowell. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's just so many anymore. It was very difficult. You were talking about the 30 most impactful players. You know, that list started about 250, and they had to pare it down to 60. I think they're thinking about maybe a second edition the next year or two. I'd really like to see that. We've omitted a lot of great players.
And, you know, that's not a position anybody wants to be into, where you have to whittle that list down to a smaller list.
Yeah, but it started some great conversations.
I bet.
Well, I tell you, it's something. You know, I saw Andy Kaufman pop up, and there's a guy who had a noteworthy college career, and by the time college was done, he was done with basketball. There are certainly sagas where people just achieve incredible things in high school basketball at the high school level, and maybe they don't maintain their trajectory, but boy, it's something to look back. Some people really had some special 4 years, and maybe they're forgotten because they didn't go on to the next level. But some special stories in that mix of people who need to be remembered for the next generation.
and that's our job. We're trying to preserve a lot of that history, and there's so much that starting back in the early part of the 1900s, and you know, even girls basketball was an official sport in early 1900s, and I think the IHSA squashed that about 1907. So there's even a little history about girls basketball over 100 years ago.
Talking with Steve Allen, the anniversary, 50th anniversary open house coming up on July 9th. And Steve, just a little more details about that. A laid-back event, you say. So that really will kind of lend itself to some really good, fun conversations.
Oh, and a lot of them might even be true. So I think we're expecting a really great event. People can walk up and come to the event if they decide at the last minute to come, but they can get ticket information.
Oh, no. An unfortunate cell phone dropout right at the most inopportune time.
The Indiana Coaches Association didn't like all the momentum, so they cut the call off.
No kidding. Wow.
They went to a hacker.
We'll see if we can get Steve back on real quickly. But, yeah, you can't make some stuff up, Sean. Hey,
No. Make
sure you don't press the – whatever you do, don't press the
– oh, timing's everything.
Oh, boy, I tell you
well,
what.
Well, you know, and you think about it, you got to appreciate pork chop sandwiches. And, you know, we mentioned Steve Kimbrough, and when I think of having pork at the game, I think of Nokomis, you know, whether it's a pork burger or whatever, and it's just kind of a good fit. I like that, having the sports-style food, you know.
That's right.
You get these events, and, hey, it's a bunch of sports fans getting together. But we'll have caviar puree. You know, come on, that's not sports fan food.
No,
they might like it, but
I totally agree. $25 gets you in to this event, and it's going to be a lot of fun coming up on July 9th, 1 to 5 at the McLean County Fairgrounds Expo Center there in Bloomington. And hopefully we'll be able to catch back up with Steve Allen here in just a matter of moments. As soon as these words are done coming out of my mouth, we should have Steve Allen back with us on the phone. And Steve, sometimes you drop out at the most inopportune time. Right when you said how to get the tickets, you were gone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. well, our website is ibcaillinois.org, and they can get information there. But they certainly can just walk up if they decide to come at the last minute. We expect a pretty interesting event.
And when you talk about having all 50 classes represented here, that in and of itself, that's a lot of legwork.
And what's interesting is we have three gentlemen who are on our original board of directors in 1972, and they're going to be there. Lee Cabuti at Champaign Central, Dave Shanahan at Belleville West, and Steve Goers, who has 800 wins in his high school career, comes from Rockford Boylan. So they're going to be there to cut the ceremonial cake.
Well, that's outstanding. And, you know, and I imagine this is more important than ever because of the decline of the great sports writer, where, you know, I can think of Norm Sanders down in Belleville. I can think of the other guys who were like the historians who worked 30, 40, 50 years. And I know we're still pretty fortunate with what we have in this area, but it just seems like your work's even more important because we don't have those historians, as I like to call them, who cover the sports over the decades.
Yeah, that's probably information for another show. You could do a couple of hours on the decline of the media, especially the media personality. But yeah, they're a big part of our Hall of Fame. We have a media section, and there's just some outstanding people who are in our Hall of Fame.
50 years, hard to believe. And thank goodness that the 50th anniversary wasn't a couple of years ago, right? Because I know it was just great for you guys to be able to be back at the state tournament being seen by the people.
Yes. We kind of dodged a bullet there, so to speak. But we're just glad to be serving the basketball community as we do. We have a lot of people doing some great things, and We were at Hillsboro a couple of years ago presenting a 1500 victory plaque. I know your girls program, Coach Teakin, does a great job there. So when they get to 1,000 wins, we'll be back and make a presentation for them. So we do a lot of things, all academic teams, of course, the All-Star games and the All-State teams and Hall of Fame and Coaches of the Year. We keep ourselves busy with getting out there and getting our name and honoring a lot of people.
Sounds great. Steve Allen, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Again, the 50th anniversary open house celebration July 9th from 1 to 5 at the McLean County Fairgrounds, and they can just show up without a reservation, Sean, and have themselves a wonderful time. And thank you very much to Steve Allen for joining us here this morning.
Yeah, there's so much to do, too, in Bloomington Normal. I mean, really great towns, great downtowns for both, and you know, a great chance to make a day of it. I mean, if you're, with gas prices now, you want to get more bang for your travel buck.
Yeah, there's good value there. So that'll be July 9th at the McLean County Fairgrounds Center in Bloomington from 1 until 5. So thanks to Steve Allen for joining us here this morning. Of course, thanks to new Hillsboro Boys basketball coach Corbin Govey as well. Sean, hard to believe, June is over for Saturdays, and it'll be a holiday show when we come back next week. How about that?
Well, lots of fireworks next go-round.
No doubt about it. For Jennifer Graham and Sean Berlant, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.